You're listening to Salt Lake Dirt on KPCR 101.9 FM in Santa Cruz. I'm your host, Kyler Bingham. We are continuing our coverage of FilmQuest 2023 up in Provo, Utah. And today we're talking about an incredible film that I had the chance to see called Toad Boy. Philip McLaughlin is here with us today. Phil, thank you so much for joining me on the show.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
Of course. Yeah. So let's talk about this film. It's kind of stuck with me. A lot of these short films have really been haunting me in a way since I've seen them, and which is wonderful and a testament to the incredible filmmakers we have here at FilmQuest. So tell us about Toad Boy, and tell us about the genesis of the film. How did this idea come to you?
Well, Toad Boy, I kind of describe it as a Midwestern horror short. It's about sort of two misguided siblings and the lengths that they'll go for one another, and a principal who's concerned and tries to intervene after one of them is absent from school following some bullying incidents, and tries to, you know, reach out and help how he can, but what he doesn't realize is the help that he's going to be providing is requires kind of a significant sacrifice on his part. So it's kind of a slow burn that goes off the rails by the end, but I like to think that, you know, it still feels organic in some sort of messed up way. And I don't know, I've had this idea of kind of a half toad, half human, tucked away in my brain that keeps resurfacing, and I just needed to exercise that out. So I moved to the Chicago area from Los Angeles during the pandemic with my family to be closer to grandparents and my parents and cousins and that sort of thing for my kids, and met some local filmmakers here and met Dennis Preston, who did the practical effects on the short. And after getting to explore his workshop, I was like, this guy's going to be able to pull this off. It was sort of, you know, like that Guillermo del Toro monster sort of museum vibe. Yeah. Everything was horrifying and grotesque in the best way. And that was kind of really the catalyst that I needed to get something made.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. I wanted to ask you about that. I don't want to give any spoilers, but just the special effects in it were like startling to me, like in a good way. It just like oh my gosh, it was you know arguably the best I've seen in quite a while. Just even across the board, like film festival or not, like it just was like very, very jarring and like real feeling to me. So yeah, I guess I just wanted to talk about like you touched on it, but just I would love to hear you talk about this guy's work and maybe more. And I don't know, just a true artist clearly who created this stuff.
Yeah, he is from outside of Chicago, and his name is Dennis Preston. His company's Preston Perspectives. He's a younger guy. I think he might have been 29 when we made this, or around 30, but he highly skilled artist, graphic designer, sculptor, we kind of hit it off and were introduced through a mutual friend who had scored an independent film that he had been working on, and we talked through the process. We gave him a lot of sort of inspiration material, some of our favorite kind of monsters and some of the effects that maybe we were looking to emulate or were inspired by. And he did a conceptual sketch based on our lead actor. And from there did sculpts and refined it and took molds. And we had done a life cast of our actor so that he could sculpt onto a bust of his face. And then broke out the sculpture of the final makeup into four pieces and did the foam latex molds and baked them in his home oven. And then on the day did the all of the painting, and he did some of the other effects we had too. He built the he made the Necromagica book that we use, which is sort of our homage to the Necronomicon, like a reptile skin bound tome. He did the effects on the other young kids that we see. He made the fake blood that we used in some of the other scenes. So the hero makeup was a dedicated day of shooting. That was maybe 7.5 hours to get camera ready, closer to 8 probably. But everything got applied and painted on the day. And Cliff Chamberlain, our lead actor, super game for everything. I couldn't be more grateful for him and his willingness to go through that whole process in multiple stages, through the life casting and then on the day, and then, you know, even shooting, being on the cold cement floor of a basement. I mean, we gave him like a pillow and stuff between takes, but just, you know, coating him with blood and other, you know, other props and objects that you have seen in the short. So Dennis brought in a makeup assistant, Noel Hetzel, who was super talented and a great painter, and really just brought it to life in the best way. I'm really proud that we have almost no visual effects in the short. There's a few cleanup effects, and we do a few things with flies that we had to do that with, but the hero makeup, all that stuff is practical. So really kind of, we go out with a bang, I guess, in the short.
Yeah. I love it when it is like that, because it does it just adds this element of realness to it. You know, I think we become such an astute audience where we see things that are CGI or whatever. And something like this just really brings it home and makes it that much more powerful. And the actors, let's talk about the, so you talked about, our principal here, poor principal. I work in a high school, and I was thinking a lot about, I'm going to have to tell my principal about this one. don't go home alone. But the kids were incredible. I mean, it seems like, especially in independent films, I would imagine it's challenging to secure really good child actors. So I'm curious how you kind of went about that process of getting, especially the character of Charlene, but, the Todd character as well. Where did you find those kids?
That was through an open casting call. We were pretty open to whomever we could kind of get, knowing that maybe it would be difficult to find kids, and so not being too specific. And I think being more keen on, especially with Charlene, somebody who could kind of play subtle and nuanced and subdued, knowing that she has a little bit of a turn in the short. And from the first self-tape we got, I knew that Soren, who played Charlene, we had a callback with a couple girls, but she, from her first self-tape, I was like, this is going to be the one. So just like the sweetest, quietest, most reserved, teenager that I've ever met. And then just opens up in a great way on camera. We had done two reads mostly because we released kind of that. There's an opening office scene that's, she's very much kind of stoic but reactionary to the principal. And I knew that if we could find somebody that could pull that off, that, we could work on anything else that we had. And it was just, she was just so far and above some of the other options that we had. And then with Tamir, who played Todd, he that was an interesting casting process because he's nonverbal. But, you know, so it was kind of just more of a meeting and then asking, asking the actors to just kind of, you know, internalize things or react to things or like, let me see what it looks like when you think about, you know, X or whatever. Just talk through the character, you know,
interesting.
You're a young boy, you're obsessed with toads and asking about like, what are their obsessions? What are they really into? And just kind of having them kind of, you know, wistfully look off in the distance and think about and just see. And he came in and, you know, he has a mask in the short and he has the guiro wooden toad instrument. And I think that he would have been content just to sit there in the mask and play that for days if, you know, mm-hmm. we didn't bother him. He was often like kind of hiding in corners on the set, just doing it sort of on his own. So we felt like, okay, we found the right kid for this. And I'm a parent. I have three kids and my oldest is 9. So I think that, you know, some of that helps at least in, you know, talking to kids and dealing with kids and having that kind of energy. And, you know, and my oldest was on set a lot of times. I have great pictures of him reading or looking at the, you know, the cursed book inside of a pentacle on the floor. We'll kind of go, you know. My wife hasn't let me frame them up just yet.
You don't want to give the visitors the wrong idea. that's great.
But they were great to work with and really, you know, on every level was pleasantly surprised and excited by the people that we had working on the film.
Yeah, they were great. I think another thing I love about it is just I really love short films and I am always really eager to see like the first opening shots of a short film because you only have so much time to play with here to really immerse the audience in a world and to, you know, get them asking questions and keeping them engaged. And so the first couple shots, it just like, you know, grabs me. Well, the title first off grabs me and then jumping into the shots, just like the reptiles and then like the locker, and, you know, people will eventually hopefully get to see this in some capacity. So they'll know more what I'm talking about. But when you made this particular project, was the shot list pretty tight as far as like, you knew exactly how you wanted to introduce, this world to the audience?
I would say yes and no. You know, we had a longer version of this kind of opening title sequence that just was sort of, you know, just too much, obviously, for a short film and really trying to get into the story quickly. But there was something about this kind of Midwestern reptile emporium pet store that the mood of it just felt so appropriate and kind of setting you in the right kind of place and time and pairing that with, the Willie Nelson song that we licensed for it, which is a fun knot. Like, I love those jokes that are like 5% of the people will get them if they pay enough attention. But then even getting into the school, I think, you know, I had this idea for kind of baking the title into the world of the movie in that way and doing that, you know, sort of slow pullback. And even on the day, we had these weird happy accidents where there's, you know, it opens with this, the title kind of in graffiti style written on Todd's locker. And we pull back and we're seeing more of the graffiti. And there's just a, you know, child drawn penis on the locker that's sort of revealed and then wiped away by our janitor that we first meet. So like that was kind of one of those things that was we were just laughing about in the moment. But I did know that I wanted to be very methodical and intentional with the cutting pattern of the movie. And was, I think, approaching it more in that sense where we knew what our setups were generally going to be, but I knew that I wanted to live in some of these shots and let it breathe. And especially with the opening, we built more kind of a sound piece, to get the tone right. And a lot of that, I mean, I'm an editor by trade mostly. I've been an editor in film and TV for, over a decade now. And I think that all certainly stems from that experience and just thinking in these sequences and thinking, okay, you know, there's so much power in those first few shots of any film or any television show. And I think, you know, when you're opening one of those stories up and being really intentional, especially with your first few cuts and your first few shots, is important because it can either, you know, show a certain level of confidence in yourself to an audience, and then they're in turn confident in you as a storyteller and they're willing to go along for the ride. Or if it's, if they're disengaged or they're not drawn in the right way, you may never get them back at that point. So, I mean, I'm very conscientious, especially in the openings or in scene transitions, or all of it's about trying to get the audience to lean in a little bit more and to go along a little bit more. If they're thinking about it too much, that's like a little bit of a speed bump or a roadblock in the story.
Yeah, definitely. Where will people be able to see Toad Boy? Are there plans to release it? Are we still doing more festivals? I mean, I think it's just a really cool film that I really want people to check out.
Yeah. Well, I know it's currently up through FilmQuest's virtual program with the EO app. We have more festivals coming up. We only premiered at the end of September at a Night of Horror in Sydney, and have we've been in Toronto After Dark and Telluride Horror Show and a number of other, you know, domestic festivals and international festivals, and we're going to be in at Abattoir in Wales and Soho Horror, and I believe I can announce this. We're in the New York City Horror Film Festival in early December. So, you know, I think that is the immediate plan for now. And then I'd love to get it up once we kind of have done our festival run and let it live its life that way. We may swap out the Willie Nelson song before. I have festival rights for it, but I'm not, I don't know about putting any extra money in Willie's pocket for. But the, you know, like the song at the end is a, and we have a credit song in there, but that's a really close friend of mine. And we found this kind of old nursery rhyme that was about, you know, frogs and toads. And I just said, what if, you know, it's like an old kind of Robert Johnson recording of a Raffi mm-hmm. song version of it. And he knocked that out.
Oh, that's so cool.
So, yeah. So, but you know, my goal is to get it out into the public and try to get it seen and, you know, and I've kind of been floored by the reaction to it. It's one of those things where you never know how people are going to react to it or take it.
Sure.
I think any positive feedback is always like, oh, wow, people are maybe just as messed up as I am in some way.
Yeah. definitely are, yeah. Well, I absolutely loved it. And, you know, we're kind of on a short interview here, yeah, but no, I'd love to have you back on in the future and have on a more long form episode. Really interested in your career as an editor. That stuff fascinates me. So I'd love to, you know, you have a standing invitation to come back at any point.
And
I'd love to have you on. But again, everyone, the film is Toad Boy, Philip McLaughlin. Phil, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I wanted to mention that Philip directed the most recent episode of Fear the Walking Dead. The episode is Sanctuary and airs November 5th, 2023. Check it out.